Welcome to the New Life Podcast. Here we want you to experience the grace of God. So through this sermon, we hope to come alongside you as you grow in your relationship with Jesus. To learn more about New Life, please visit our website at newlifeonline.org. Here's today's message.
Well, in our series in Daniel, I want to begin today by looking quickly at the book of James. So James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Maybe you've heard this verse before, but I almost want you to just step back and hear it afresh. Did you catch what James said? Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Like what? Like when we face trials, we're to consider it pure joy. And why? Because when that testing happens, it produces perseverance. That's just a hard pill to swallow, right? And James starts out his book this way, right? It's like, out of the gates, let me tell you this, you know? Like, this is interesting. Why should we consider it pure joy when we're tested and that leading to perseverance? Just so we kind of are on the same page in what we're talking about, perseverance, a working definition, if you will, is remaining faithful to God's way over the long haul. It's consistently aligning to God's way, like doing things his way over the long haul. It's not just like a one-time choice. I'm like, okay, I did that, done. Like, no, it's that ongoing, persistent kind of faithfulness to God's way. And God's way is doing things his way. Like when you're faced with a choice, like, okay, what does God want me to do? Making a choice that way. So like doing things God's way, doing what is right. James is telling us that perseverance, doing this, is what results when we're tested. And so we're to consider it pure joy. Why is this perseverance thing a good thing? Why is perseverance good? Because I don't know about you, I wonder if we've all had a moment where we've questioned whether God's way is really best. Like, have you had moments in your life where you've just like, God wants me to do things this way, I know that, or maybe I'm still trying to figure it out, but like, is it really worth it? Like, is it really worth it to go through all this? Because again, James is saying it's going to be kind of hard. Like, is it worth it? Maybe you've been in a very particular situation where you feel like, if I choose God's way, it's going to get worse. And I'm not sure that like I can actually go through with it. Like, have you had these moments where you just question, is it worth it to persevere? Maybe you're in one right now. You feel that temptation, that pull to like go a different direction. Like, is God's way really worth it? Is perseverance really a good thing? We're in a series in Daniel. And today, the text we're going to come to is going to answer that question. It is going to tell us, yes, perseverance is a good thing, and tell us why. So we've been walking through these stories in the book of Daniel. He's an Old Testament prophet, and he and the Israelites at this time are living in a foreign land. So they consistently didn't do things God's way as a nation. And so finally, like God's like, okay, I'm going to let the other nations have you. And they come in and they conquer the nation. They conquer Jerusalem and they take people back to Babylon. And so Daniel is one of these people who is living in a foreign land. But we get this book of Daniel that spurs people on in faith, in hope. Even in the midst of all this challenge, they're exiled, they're in foreign land, they don't know what's going to happen next. God is saying, stay true, because I will give you hope. Today, we get to chapter 6. And it's probably one of the most famous stories. It's most famous in Daniel. It's Daniel in the lion's den. If you grew up in church, grew up going to Sunday school, you heard this story, Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. Well, we're going to come to that today. And if you've been following along in this series, you're going to hear some similar things to chapter 3. You know, Daniel's three friends, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Like, you're like, okay, it kind of sounds familiar. It is. What we're going to do is we're going to highlight some of the distinctives. We're not going to spend a lot of time on chapter 3. We're going to highlight how Daniel 6 is a little bit different and what that tells us about perseverance and why it's good. So, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to begin reading, and we're just going to take the whole story in chunks, and we're going to see how God answers this question for us about perseverance. Should we do it? Yes. And why? All right. So let's follow along in chapter 6, the first 5 verses. Now, before I need to kind of tell you this. So you're going to see the word Darius. He's the new king in Babylon because Babylon now has been conquered themselves. The Persian Empire has come in and taken over. And now Darius is a Persian king. So Nebuchadnezzar, who was kind of the key leader of, and some of his successors, that kingdom no longer exists. It's now a Persian kingdom. And so that's where we find ourselves. This is many years after the beginning of the book of Daniel. And so we're going to pick up with this new king, Darius, being on the throne. Verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. So these are like leaders, officials that are going to lead on his behalf, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So now there is a new kingdom, but here's Daniel, consistent all the way through. If you've been following along in our story, you know that Daniel has risen up to prominence in the kingdom. Well, that is still true in this Persian kingdom. So let's keep reading. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel, he so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king, he planned to set him over the whole kingdom. See, again, Daniel is consistently portraying himself a certain way, and he's being honored for it. At this, the administrators and the satraps, they tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. So they're trying to get at him. They're like, oh, no, he shouldn't be ruling over us. We're going to find a way to knock him down. But read what happens. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Daniel is upstanding in all that he does. So verse 5. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So they're looking for ways to get at Daniel. These guys are jealous. They don't like Daniel. They don't like the prestige that he's earning. Like he's an honorable guy and they're jealous of him. And so they want to knock him down. And they're looking for any way they can get it. But consistently, Daniel has shown himself, nope, I do things well. And so now they're left to find what can we get after? And we'll get to that in just a moment. But what I want you to see right out of the gates here is that Daniel, he has chosen God's way. And so persevering in God's way produces character. Amen. When we choose to follow God, when we do things his way, we persevere in that, what happens is someone like Daniel. Someone who has character, who's going to do the right thing, who's going to consistently choose the honorable path. And notice, these guys scrutinized. They were like putting him under the microscope and boom, he comes through. See, Daniel has made a commitment. All the way back in chapter 1, we were introduced to Daniel and he's brought into exile initially. And what we see is that Daniel makes an intentional choice. So in chapter 1, verse 8, we see these words. Daniel, he resolved to not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. So if you're here for chapter one, we talked about what that meant. Like Daniel's choosing to honor God, including the dietary laws. Like I'm going to eat a certain way, the way that God wants me to. And he has resolved to remain faithful to that. That didn't stop right there. See, this story in chapter six is years, like even decades after chapter one. Daniel has been consistent all the way through. So much so that we're going to jump down to verse 10, kind of sneak peek on what's coming in the story. So in chapter 6, verse 10, we read these words. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. See, Daniel, when we'll get into the story and why he does this, but he's holding to his practices. The things he's been doing, he continues to do. So he prays. He prays 3 times a day, and he does that consistently. Daniel, his character, comes from persevering in God's way. When we do things God's way, it consistently changes and transforms us to have character, to choose to do what is right. That's what we see captured here at the beginning of our story. Daniel, he's got character. But notice, these guys, these satraps, these other officials, they're kind of scrutinizing him and they're like, we can't find anything wrong except something to do with God. See, what we're going to see now is this character. Why it's important is going to be revealed in a contrast. See, Daniel, he's got character. He's choosing to do what is right. But the rest of the story is going to help us see that's not always the case for people. There's going to be a contrast that emerges. And so here's an idea that's going to rise to the surface. People, we tend to do what's right in our own eyes. So let's see this play out. Let's read verses 5 and following in chapter 6. So finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, may King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce that decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. And so what they're talking about here is a practice that existed in Persia at the time. We don't know a lot about it aside from kind of what the text is telling us. But essentially, the king issues an order and it is set in stone. It is not changeable. So, king, issue this decree. Put it in writing so that it cannot be changed. So verse 9, King Darius put the decree in writing. See, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get their own ends. We don't like Daniel. We can't find a way to get at him except this one thing. It has to do with his faith, his religion, his God. That is where they disagree. So they look at all his government running. He's like, oh, he's doing a pretty good job, darn it, you know. And now it's like, oh, well, here's something that's different. This is what we can go after. And now what's being set up is a battle, a contest. Which way is going to be better? Daniel's way, God's way, or these people's way? But I want you to see right here, people represented in these satraps tend to do what is right in their own eyes. We'd like to decide this is what's right. This is the way forward. This will get me to the thing that I want. That is the human tendency. This is what we tend to do. And this has been true all the way from the beginning. So a little bit of, you know, backstory on the Bible, like Genesis chapter 3, very beginning of the story, we got Adam and Eve, they've been created. And what we see is that there's temptation from the serpent. Satan comes in the form of a serpent. He's like, hey, I want to ask you a question. Is it really true that? And he starts to sow doubt. And so we want to drop right in chapter 3 at verse 5 and see just what the serpent is saying to Eve in this particular moment. And he's saying, like, hey, that fruit from that one tree, you should eat it. And here's what he says. For God knows that when you eat from it, this fruit of the good of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And it's not just simply like knowing about. What I think he's trying to say here is like, you're gonna know what it's like to decide between good and evil. You're going to have the power of choice to do one way or another. So verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, she sees it, looks good. And it's also desirable for gaining wisdom, the ability to navigate life and choose. What did she do? She took it. And she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, Adam, who's right there, was with her, and he ate it too. And then what happens? Then the eyes of both of them were opened. They now see differently. Later in the Bible, in the book of Judges, picks up on this seeing idea, seeing theme. And so at the very end of the book, this has been a tragic stretch of Israel's history. People are just going every which way. And the book ends this way in verse 25 of chapter 21. In those days, there was no king in Israel, no one leading them. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We see, we decide, this is what's good, this is what's bad. I choose what I want to do. Even the book of Proverbs, one more text to look at. In chapter 12, verse 15 says this way, the way of fools seems right to them. Seems good to me. Wisdom in the word says, no, that's the way of fools. But the wise, they listen to advice. See, what we're getting here is this idea that people, we have the tendency, we want to do what's right in our own eyes. We want to decide what's good. We want to decide, this is what I want to do. That's playing out before us with these officials. And notice, they don't have character. You see, what they're doing is they're coming in and they're manipulating the king, right? It's like, we can't find a way to get what we want. So what we're going to do is we're going to manufacture a situation. Hey, king, here, do this edict thing. Yeah. Everybody loves you. They appeal to his ego. He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go ahead and do that. And they leverage this idea of the law of the Medes and Persians, put it in writing so it can't be changed. So they don't have character. They're not choosing to do what's right. They're choosing to do what they want to do to achieve their own ends. And so what's going to happen? How is this going to play out? How is this going to work out for people? Well, I want to actually zoom in on the character of Darius in this next section. See, again, the satraps, they come to him and say, hey, let's do this. Put it in writing. Darius does it. But see what happens next. So pick up reading again in verse 10, where we go back to our verse and see what's happening with Daniel. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, what did he do? He didn't run away. He didn't like, oh no, I can't do things now. Like, what did he do? He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. So he's facing Jerusalem where God's presence is to dwell. He's facing towards God. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Verse 11, then these men went as a group. They all go together. They went as a group. And they found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? Of course, they all know this. The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So here it comes. Here's the kicker. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah and the one you're going to put in charge of your kingdom, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. See, notice, Darius, he's like, I don't want this to happen. Like, I issued this decree, but I want Daniel to lead. And so he's caught. It's like, this isn't what I wanted. Verse 15. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict the king issues can be changed. Darius is stuck. So verse 16. So the king gave the order. They brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. See, Darius, he's wanting to put Daniel in charge. But because these other officials come in and manipulate the situation, they do the wrong thing out of their jealousy. What happens? The king is caught in his own law. He's a king. He gets to decide how things go. Like, he's the one that can make whatever decision he wants. And yet, here he is, stuck. He's trapped in his own way. And that's what we see through the character of Darius. People, we get trapped by our own way. We try to like navigate and choose our own ends and decide this is what I want to do, this is what's right. And what happens? We get caught. We get stuck. We think it's going to take us a certain way, but then we find out like, oh, it doesn't. It doesn't go the way that we think. And that is exactly what's happening to Darius. He's caught. And he's distressed about it. He's like, I don't want this end. Like, this isn't what I chose. Like, I don't want this to be the case. And yet he still has to go through with it. So he throws Daniel in the lion's den. When we choose to go our own way, when we choose what's right, when we choose to say, like, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to choose because I decided, it's going to get us here. We're going to get caught. We're going to get stuck. We're going to get trapped. What's the alternative? If we're trying to choose our own, we want to go our own way, we want to do our own thing, like, what's the alternative? Let's keep reading the rest of the story. Verse 16. Then the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Like, boom, this is set in stone. The king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. He is distressed by this. Verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God has sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." Daniel's like, he's in this den. He's calling out like, God has rescued me. He shut the mouths of lions because I am innocent. I am innocent. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted his God. Daniel's trust in God brought him through. Verse 24. At the king's command, the men who falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples, to every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I have issued another decree." Here's another decree. "In every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Verse 28, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God rescues Daniel. God rescues Daniel. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, but God provides a way forward. Now, I want you to notice something. God could have said, like, no, I'm gonna wipe away that law. No, he didn't. He's like, okay. Go ahead and throw him into the lion's den. The law was fulfilled. It just didn't accomplish what they expected. See, a human law, it's like, okay, if someone prays to anyone, like, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And they followed through. And one would expect, like, oh, this is an execution. Someone's going to die. They're in a lion's den. Like, they're not going to come out alive. God's like, go ahead. Put him in the lion's den and see what I can do. This is his power. He can chart the course forward through the messiness of our way. He can walk us through and say, you can make a mess of everything. And you know what? I'm going to provide a way forward. This is what God can do. And this has been true from the very beginning. So one more time, back to Genesis. So the end of the book of Genesis, if you're familiar with the story, we see that God is trying to work through a particular family. And this family is Jacob's, and he's got 12 sons. Well, these guys don't all get along, and they go after their younger brother, Joseph. They sell him into slavery. He goes as a slave to Egypt, but eventually rises up to a position of prominence. And when there's a famine, he rescues his family. And so we get some commentary at the very end of the book when he's meeting with his brothers and they realize it's him. So verse 20, you intended to harm me. You tried to leave me for dead. You sold me into slavery. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, according to what is now being done, the saving of many lives. This is what God can do. He can work through all of the bad and bring about good. God's way can bring good out of the worst traps. So no matter what happens, God is powerful enough. He is able to chart a course forward to bring about good. This is the way that he works. God's way is perfect. It is good, and it always lasts. And so I want you to hear and take away this big idea. God's way, it endures. So persevere in it. This is why Daniel chose to be resolved, why he held true. It's because God's way always endures. He's always able to chart a course forward. That doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Daniel went into the lion's den, right? God didn't spare him from that. He rescued him through it. We are going to have trials. We are going to have troubles. Things are going to happen that are not what we want. But when we align with God, when we choose his way, we persevere, he will bring us through. That is why we consider it pure joy. God's way endures. And so what we're called to do is we're called to persevere in choosing God's way. We're called to pursue character, to do the right thing, because his way endures. Now, why does his way endure? Did you notice something about the way they described Daniel? They brought him out of the lion's den and it said there was no wound on him, right? He didn't have a scratch on him. He was not harmed. It's because there was someone who was harmed. Someone would show up and be wounded. Today is Palm Sunday, the day that we remember that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey as king. The crowds are like, our king, yes, like we're expectant and there's something happening here and it's a celebration of Jesus as king, but not the king that we expected. Not the kind of king that's gonna come and overthrow powers in the way that we would. Rather, he's gonna chart God's way by laying down his life, by going to a cross, by sacrificing himself, and then being raised to new life. By his wounds, we are healed. That is the meaning of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Daniel comes out of the lion's den unscathed because Jesus, he was scathed. He was whipped. He was murdered in our place. And then he was resurrected to bring new life, redemption, restoration, to bring good out of bad. That is why all of this is possible. So God's way, it endures. So persevere. Hold fast to his way. So how do we do that? What does that actually look like? What's the practicality of all this? I got a few suggestions for you. Here's the first one. Learn Jesus and his way so that you will grow in character. Spend time reading the Gospels. Spend time reading the whole Bible and see how is Jesus? What is the Lord like? How does he work? What's his character? And pursue that. Go after that. When you spend time with Jesus in prayer, reading the scriptures, he is going to form you. The Holy Spirit's gonna come and change your heart piece by piece and form you into character just like Daniel. So learn Jesus, learn his way, grow in character. That's number one. Number two, and make these practices a habit. So we spent several weeks in January talking about some practices that we as a church wanna go after as a way to pursue Jesus. So if we wanna learn his way, we want to do some practices. Read the Bible, commit to praying, worship, be in community. These are just a few of the key practices that we can do. But what we want to do is be like Daniel in verse 10, just as he had always been doing. He'd been praying. Make these a habit. Commit to doing them regularly, especially when it's easy. So when things get hard, that's our times like, oh, I need to pray, like, God, come rescue me. And that's good. When hard times come, that should be our response. But when we do it when it's easy, when we build in that practice, build in that regular habit, it begins to change us and form us so that when things get hard, we just default to that naturally. So be like Daniel. Make this a habit. Choose to do this continually, especially when it's easy. That's number two. But number three, when it gets hard. When it gets hard, trust Jesus and remember the end of the story. See, notice when Daniel was brought out, it was declared he's innocent and he was unscathed because he trusted God. he held to God's way, even though he may not have seen how it was going to play out. So trust Jesus and remember the end of the story. So as Daniel didn't necessarily know the end of the story, we do. Because Jesus was raised, because he ascended into heaven, he's coming back. We know how the story ends. God's way endures. No matter what comes in life, no matter what tries to overthrow his power, nothing will succeed. That's the end of the story. That's where it's all heading. We can trust him. So when you're in the hard time, when you're questioning, like, can I endure? I don't know if I can persevere. Is it even worth it? It is. It is because of Jesus' resurrection. It is because of his return. He is going to put everything right. So choose his way. Choose his character. Follow him. Because he will be the one who remains when it's all said and done. So when it gets hard, trust him and remember the story. So, God's way, it endures. Persevere in it. James, back to James chapter 1, verse 4, right after the couple of verses that we read, it says, it is going to work its way, perseverance is going to work its way till we are mature and complete. That's the work that it does. It forms us in character. It allows us to remain steadfast in God's way. So let perseverance do its work. Hold on to him. God's way endures, so persevere in it.